We're back on the XF52 podcast. It is Wednesday, April 24th, Wednesday evening, 7:29 p.m. here in the greater Baltimore area. My name is Jake Luke, and I'm joined by Gunner Nathaniel Schultz and by Libstool RDT. Boys, how are we doing tonight?
If I had a son, that would probably be his name, and all day, every day, I would just go, Gunner, yeah. Gunner, Gunner. That's all I've been doing this whole season. Gunner. Kid's on fire. Kid's on fire.
I just tweeted. I said every team had the chance to draft Gunnar Henderson, and they said, "Nah, we're good." Yeah. That's he's incredible. He's what a fucking tweet. He's just so good. He's so good. I'm very pumped up after this.
I did miss. I went to the gym. This is all on me. I am furious. My Orioles parlay of the day. The Orioles win 6-5, 2 out of 3. Yeah, great, great. Gunnar hits home run. Great, fantastic. I had Adley Rutschman 2+ bases, Gunner to have a hit, and Orioles -1.5. Of course, they collapse. I go to the gym. It's 6-0. What could go wrong? They let up 5 runs. So boo for me. That I am very, very, very distraught about. But I missed the play that he made to end, I believe, the 8th inning there. Please describe it to me.
Yeah, it was something wild. Just a hard hit one going to left field. Westberg literally like dove, and it looks like if you see the screen grab of it, it looks like he's kind of laying prostrate and like bowing down to Gunner, who goes just a full Manny Machado impression when Manny would play shortstop. Just whips one there to first base, barely beats it out, and he gets the out. I forget who it was on, but yeah, I mean that really was the capstone on.
I think it was Taylor Ward.
Taylor Ward, yeah, you're right, and it was just a capstone on. Probably his best series of the year. I mean, ever since he really started picking it up, it feels like he's been having these series the last couple of weeks. But I mean, this is the one that really announced him in a big way, I think, into the MVP race. We were talking about Kowser a little bit. I think he's certainly probably still in that conversation, but people were talking about Gunner MVP before the year. Feels like we're firmly in that territory right now. Another home run today, one shy of the cycle, did not get the triple. I was hoping that he would get the opportunity for an inside the park home run and then take it in a touching tribute to when he should have had the cycle last year and he held up there at second. So, you know, it didn't have the cycle today, but, you know, to your points, Benny, he's your guy. And yet another incredible series from our guy as the Orioles, I should say, win yet another series and advance to 16-8. How are we feeling?
Derek alive?
I was giving it to you.
Oh,
I probably should specify, but I do like the kind of the pregnant pause when you two try to figure out who to take it. and so, yeah, Eric, I guess you
can. This is the Eric. This is Eric's time.
I'll take it. I think, again, I mean, this is kind of just been what the Orioles do. Like, I mean, Suarez on, what was that, Monday night, late Monday night, all he did was 5 2/3 scoreless, just like he did the first time out. Again, like, he's not great. He's not knocking your socks off. He's really good. And he's giving you chances to win the game. So again, they did that. They kind of laid the stinker, and I'm trying to remember like offensively what happened that night too. But like they're trying to, and then last night they lay the stinker kind of and do a little comeback, blah, blah, blah. Didn't really work out. Grayson, I mean, his worst start of the year, still got me my 7 Ks.
I think he allowed 6 doubles in a homer. Yeah.
They just, and again, they weren't missing anything. I mean, I don't know if he was tipping pitches. Somebody asked me that. Is it Milwaukee? One of the last games, he kind of got hit a little hard and they were like, I wonder if he's tipping a little bit. But again, like that's okay. Grayson threw up a stinker. That happens. The offense kind of tried to come back. Couldn't really do anything. Gunner with that was a 414 foot home run last night. Just his swing is so violently sexy. Like it's so violent, but it's so smooth. And he's
controlled. Like he has balance while he's swinging it, but it is so hard. He is swinging so hard. There's so much bat speed, but he is not falling over. Like it is all golf torque, hands, hips, core. There's no swaying with it. It just pulls right through the zone. It is unbelievable.
He's not swinging out of his shoes. Yeah, he's not like falling over or anything. He's just uncorking on these baseballs. And like as hot as he is, Adley's hitting. I tweeted out Adley's had multi-hit games in 7 of 11. He did it again today. The power again is still not. We've seen him the 2 home runs, both from the right side, and I'm kind of okay with it. Like if he's going to be hitting like this, he's going to run into some home runs. But again, he's locked in. Like his hits last night where he went down on a knee and kind of poked it over the shortstop's head. Then he, you know, we drilled one off the wall last night too. But he's playing incredible. I mean, I'm looking at their. Here are the batting averages for their number, their top three guys. Gunner, 309. Adley, 327. Mountcastle, 316. He went over, still 316. Then Westberg batting fifth, 310. You know, you got Kowser down there, 333. Even Mateo's 267. Like, they're hitting hell out of the ball right now. And again, they only scored, what, six runs a day? Four last night? Three last night? Four last night?
It was more than that, wasn't it?
I thought it was 7-3.
Last night was 4. 7-4.
Yeah.
Last night. And then on Monday, they get the initial dub there, yeah. Which was 6-5. I'm looking at 422. Is that also 6-5? No, it didn't update yet. There we go. 4-2. 4-2, 7-4, 6-5. Those were the three. Orioles leading Major those League Baseball played, and expected on base those percentage. Those
games were played on a soundstage in the moon, as far as I'm concerned. 948. Start first pitch on the East Coast is just unacceptable. We got to figure that out. You guys are going to have to help me out on these first two games because I probably got through six innings in that first one. They were up 2-0 at that point, fell asleep. But then, as I let you guys know in the group chat, Uncle Craig coming into the game, that was just that was a moment that just awakened something inside of me and woke up, got to see a save, got to do the tweet. And then when things got out of hand last night, I pretty much just took the L on that one, fell asleep halfway through. But this one obviously locked in all the way through, and this was a good one to watch. So
Monday, what a game. Mike Trout striking out. Craig Kimbrell sits him down, strikes out looking. Absolutely filthy. There was a 17% win differential there on that, which was, I think, the highest of the series, according to Baseball Savant. Craig Kimbrell just coming in, your boy Jake just dancing. Suarez had, I believe, 16 swing and misses. His fastball command is the run on it, and the command of it is giving guys issues. That fastball is going to end up, if it stays anywhere consistent to where it's been his first two starts, going to be one of the most effective, darling, analytical pitches, especially of fastballs in baseball among starters. It has been so much fun to watch. Mike Bauman comes in a high leverage situation there a little bit. Monday night, Colton Kowser hits a home run. I think Adley sorted one as well. Not really a series. The Orioles, who have obviously had such high exit velocities, not really a series when you comb through and look at like the top five exit velos. Pretty much every series, when you comb through those games, like four or five, or at least three out of the five, are guys on the Orioles that are jacking those up there. Sano hit the crap out of one on Monday. Adele hit crap out of one. Yeah, he is. And Ohapi got a hold of one a little bit. So the Angels, I mean, leave a little bit to be desired in terms of their staff. They did get a nice start on Tuesday out of some of the Orioles have traditionally hammered, but they were hitting the freaking ball this series and showed a lot of grit. You know, their record doesn't speak to it, but a team that gave issues today climbs back into it, gets on the Orioles early, and, you know, kept it competitive on Monday night too. So the Angels, who have had so much despair and dreariness, do lose the series, but I don't know. I could see them maybe winning 85 games and making a little pushy push. They've got some talent. They've got some guys that are like pissed off.
They did it last year, didn't they? Or they tried. They held on to Ohtani. I mean, you know, good for them for going for it. But I mean, that really does kind of speak to the polarized nature of MLB right now, where it's like, my God, like you're either a seller, you're a buyer, or you're just completely rebuilding and tearing it all down. And they're just really stuck in this weird middle space. And they even were with Ohtani. So I don't know. It's just it's a weird test case for sure.
I will say Mike Trout, still very good. Again, the talks of him have been like, oh, he's old, he's hurt, he's washed up. No, he's still very good. And again, we saw it today with the home run. We saw it
yesterday with the home run.
Yeah. Or was it yesterday? Did he not hit one today? I guess not.
He did hit one today and yesterday, but not on Monday.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, because everyone
know that because the only time I bet him to hit a home run was on Monday.
Go figure. But yeah, what does he have? 10 home runs, 13 RBIs, which is such a perfect Mike Trout.
Taylor just can't get over
that. Lack of takes from a certain Big Ten social media manager who's, you know, had literally had nothing to say for these past three games. Interesting stuff. Would have liked to have him in here.
Yeah. And again, like we'll talk about it later. My three stars, but yeah, Kimbrel was pretty locked down this whole, like weird. It was a weird appearance on Monday because he hit the guy and then gave up a bloop hit. And my reaction to you guys was, in every other baseball game, whenever you start the ninth up two and your closer plunks a guy and then bloops, get you, there's a bloop hit, those runs score 1,000 times out of 1,000. That's just how baseball works. And it just didn't happen this time. And it was crazy the way.
I mean, again, today.
Yeah. Yeah. And then today, I mean, yeah, same thing. He kind of danced with the devil. That's not his fault. You know, Mateo had the error. And the stolen base. I mean, do we want to talk about, I thought he was safe after seeing the replay. Yeah,
he was safe. But
you've got to, if you're reviewing these calls for 3.5 or 4 minutes, there's no way that you can say now it's inconclusive. Now, you know, here's the inconclusive evidence. It's overturned. It's just, it's not how it works. So like, that's why I kind of was like, well, he looks safe, but knowing the MLB challenge situation, they're going to call him out because, again, we've been on the other side of that for years now where we're like, oh, he's safe. And then they call him out or it's the other way around. But yeah, I mean, it fireworks to end it. McCann had a great series too. He had the home run on Monday or last night, I believe. Again, I'm
Santa Barbara native James McCann, you know, showing out practically a home game for him out there. He had his parents in the stands and everything.
But then, you know, he did that. He had the double today. Like, did you see his double that just didn't even get to the wall? And he was hustling around there. And then, I mean, you couldn't put the ball in Gunner. And it's a great tag by Gunner, too. Like, that's a guy throwing out is one of the sexier plays in sports. Like, a perfectly executed guy getting caught stealing. Especially a guy like Joe Adell. I mean, he's a freak. He could be an NFL wide receiver. He could be a point guard. He could be a goal. He could be a striker on a soccer team. He can do whatever. He's a freak athlete. So I'm just – the bullpen is an issue, though. I think we can all say that. Days bound and Webb, I don't know. They're not really doing it for me. And I know Webb has a 1.86 ERA, but
I don't know if this was confirmed, but I saw somebody posted CNL Perez arrived in Norfolk the other night, yeah. Right? So he's probably going to be ramping up.
He's starting his rehab thing today. So, okay. Yeah. And he's a lefty. I don't know. I don't know what the move there will be, but you know, I think now it's going to be very clear. And that's also where my mind started racing when I saw them looking at Cadeau in the inning, like, oh God, now we have to go trade for someone. And that's what I think ultimately do. They have to trade they have to trade these guys in Norfolk and maybe Austin Hayes or maybe Ramon. You have to get a bullpen because
get Mason Miller to Baltimore.
It did. Yes. Give me Mason Miller. They shouldn't let Mason Miller leave Baltimore this weekend. I'll talk to Dallas and I'll do my best, but there's no shot they should let him leave this series.
You and Dallas just going to lock him in the locker room down there and keep him there for a while.
I think Dallas wants to
hang on to him. He wants to have something to watch. Jeez Louise. Yeah, he's watching every single one of those games. That's gotta be a tough gig right now.
This really was just such like a grinded out kind of, just searing. Like it was a perfect, like I said, they didn't blow the doors off them. Well, they should have today, but they didn't blow the doors off them, but they just gutted it out and grinded it out and, you know, got some big insurance runs when they needed it and got big timely hits and great defense by Gunner. I thought Cedric I thought he was going to make that catch in center field on the home run today, but you know, can't win all, but just keep stacking wins. 2 out of 3, baby. 2 3. Green will knock back in the cage until Mason Miller is an Oriole. I don't know about that.
That's going to be tough.
Granny already had a tough start to the year.
We saw how that worked out with the you let her out, and then what was it all for? I mean, little Jackie, you know, 2 for 58.
Hey, little Jackie got a hit last night too.
So he did. I was asleep for it. I was asleep for it, but he did. So there's no way
you can tell Jackson looks more comfortable after that last night. He has that nice little double play there, gets a barrel and a ball, first pitch curveball in the dirt, just giving him a ton of trouble. Do want to shout out Craig Kimbrel too, real quick before we move on. That was his 7th save of the season. I think that drops him to a 1.9 ERA on the year. Like you said, has gotten out of some scrappy, hairy, not his fault situation so far. The one blown save he does have was also one of those, which, you know, didn't feel like, oh my God, Craig Kimbrel got rocked. It was like, oh, they kind of small balled him, dinged him around, all those kinds of things. 424 saves with the one tonight. Passes Billy Wagner, who was such a fun closer. I think he was 4th in Cy Young voting. So for such a long time, he was an Astro, bounces around the Phils, bounces around the Mets. So really fun player that doesn't get talked about a ton. Craig Kimbrel passes him.
They also, I didn't realize this, that they played together on the 2010 Braves, Wagner and Kimbrel.
I did not either.
Yeah, I think the banner, or somebody did a piece on that being like, you know, Billy Wagner saw Craig Kimbrel when he was 20 years old and knew that he had the stuff to be, you know, one of the best. And it was one of those, like a cool look back and all that. But yeah, I would not have thought that Billy Wagner played in 2010. Again, I watched his whole career, but I would not have remembered that. So the more you know.
The more you do know. I'm really talking about Tuesday night's game. I was curious. I think Grayson, we saw last year, get a little flustered at times, get a little hot. And I do think, like, he didn't have it last night. It felt like, to me, the timing, I don't know if he was tipping pitches, but the timing of Angel hitters, it felt like they were just so in rhythm with him and stepping so cleanly. It felt like they had such smooth swings all the way through. So maybe a little bit of tipping there, but I'm not going to say I enjoyed that, but I am happy to see him maybe have a little adversity and want to see how he bounces back from that start. Has obviously been so good this year. And for a young pitcher that did get banged up in the playoffs, you want to see him have some moments where he is presented with that adversity and how can he respond? How can he come back and bounce back and all those things? So Fat O's fan, of course, here in the comments, every pitcher has a bad game. Burns will too. Mm-hmm. And that is the scary thing about Burns. I think we might've seen a bad Burns game already. And it just doesn't feel like it because he is that damn good, but I'm sure he'll have one worse this year. So that was cool. It was also cool to see them rally. And a cool thing about this series too, is that they really did leave so many runners the last two nights, especially on base late, and to get away with it today. Kowser hits into the double play today, unfortunately, but they did keep pressing. The at-bats were there. Mateo quality at-bats. Westberg quality at-bats. Mullins has some quality at-bats. Draws a walk there late too. So guys continuing to press. The Orioles do not go down quietly in the 7th, 8th, and ninth inning. Whether they need insurance runs, whether they're up, whether they're down, they are putting together really, really, really competitive at-bats, and it's been a pleasure to watch. And I thought this series definitely could have knocked on their way. The Angels feel like they're at an early maybe impasse of like, not again, let's fucking figure something out and turn it around, and just couldn't get past the Orioles. And again, them establishing that early lead and being able to close the door just shows what they've done since Adley was called up. They win series. They won the series again. They established a lead. They looked like a better team, and it got hairy late, but they still get it done, still made it, you know, tough on the Angels, and or the Angels threw every wrench they had at them. So I thought this was a cool series in that regard. And what many people might have looked at as like a sleepwalk series, a boring series, West Coast, you know, the hours. Jake, you mentioned, you know, a lot of people like yourself are like, I'm going to bed. But it was a fun series in ways.
And even on the Tuesday night game, like to hit on some of the stuff you were alluding to, I was trying to stay awake because it's like they you're right. They're never out of these games. We've seen a couple comebacks already this year. We've seen some cardiac kids type games. And with these bats and with the order and how deep it is, I mean, it's just like they can hit their way back into anything. And I mean, you know, they'll leave guys stranded sometimes, but that's a product of getting guys on base. And I mean, it's just like it's a far cry from the Buck era where it was just solo home run, two innings go by, solo home run, two innings. And it's just like all hitting for power. Like they're playing that modern small ball that MLB has accommodated the league to be more suited towards a little bit. So it's been an interesting, you know, way to see how they like develop the club and develop their play style and everything. It all fits very well with the modern game, which is nice to see. And overall, I mean, it's funny, like I got to give a little credit to Hyde here too. I feel like we don't talk about him a ton on here and people like to shit on him and everything, but it seems like he has kind of some of the right moves sometimes with these lineups where I forget which it might, I think it was this series where the opening game, the lineup, it looked like a total punt or whatever, but they go out there and they get the win. You know, it's like, it's Arias, it's Mateo, it's a bunch of these, you know, kind of Jags on the back end. They get the W. And then on Tuesday night, I think that was the one where Heston gets called up and that's his first game back in the majors this year. And it's like, oh my God, this is the lineup we've been waiting for. And then, you know, they get blanked through most of that game and wind up losing. It's just kind of a funny thing that, you know, expectations are one thing and then the reality is the other. And you see it play out that way. But ultimately, like, these guys are all, they're growing up together and a lot of them are veterans now. I mean, Adley's the like veteran statesman of these young guys. He's 26, right? I mean, he's like, he's, you know, several years older than a lot of these guys. And he's only been up for a couple of years now, but he's sort of the total team and franchise leader at this point. It's great to see. And he's not even the best player. So it's pretty wild.
I will say too, going back to the Hyde thing, I really like that he's kind of steering away from what everyone kind of thought he would do, especially with Westberg and Kowser. They're basically in the lineup every day.
Westberg is not even a question everyday player.
They both have to be, you know, they're playing. But again, you know, people were like, oh, they're going to sit Kowser against lefties. They're going to do that. You know, remember like Gunnar used to sit against lefties. Like that just used to be a thing. And obviously Gunnar is, he's the MVP. He's not in the same stratosphere as anyone right now. But like, especially Westberg and Kowser, where again, it's like, hey, you guys had success early. You've earned it. Guess what? You're starting every single night. Because remember, everyone was like, great, Kowser's going to come up and then he'll play and then he'll sit three games and then he'll play and then he'll sit two and then he'll get benched for this. And it's like, no, he's kind of just,
there. It was like a week. It was like a week of that.
In there. Yeah. But now, again, they're in there every single night. It's, you can count on Gunner. You can count on Santander. You can count on, Adley. You can count on Kowser and Westberg. And then again, the others are you filling in with Jackson, with Mullins, with Hayes when he's available and the rest of the guys. But I do like how he's kind of sticking to that because, again, it's working. Like, Kowser doesn't matter.
Considering, the only fixtures in the lineup have been Gunner at one, Adley at two, Tony's hitting three or four pretty much every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you can say Mountie, but other than that, Mullins is, playing a lot of center.
Yeah.
Westberg's hit three, Westberg's hit eight. Kowser's hit, what, did he hit two? Did he hit three? I think he hit three one day. And then he's hitting eight, and then he's hitting seven, and then he's hitting six. These guys are bouncing around. You see James McCann, we talked about. Jorge Mateo, I think, has looked, aside from the error at the end of the freaking game, but at the plate at least, really consistent. You mentioned
that wasn't even like, so that was kind of a bad throw by him. Mountcastle wasn't really able to corral it, and then it bounced away, and no one did anything. That shouldn't have
been. Yeah, they just stood around.
And I get it. They probably didn't even know what was going on, but.
We didn't mention Dean Kramer today, who had 10 strikeouts as well and was electric. Awesome. Shotgun Willie here in the comments. Indeed. I haven't even said his name.
Yeah.
I thought he had something cooking. I thought we were on an eyeballs watch where I was like, hey, because I remember I'm working, I have it on in front of me, and every time I'm looking up, he's striking someone out. And then I checked the box for
you at one point.
And he had 8 Ks. When I looked, he had 8 Ks, no hits and a walk. And I was like, ooh. I say he had 4 1/3 at that point. And I was like, all right, I think, we're going to be close to some eyeball watch. And I was going to tweet something about, I hope Pedro Severino's watching. This is how you kind of reel one in, but didn't get there. But yeah, he was awesome. Which is a great bounce back game after he started the game, I think Kansas City, right? When they were up big and then he kind of let them back in. Right. Yeah. I believe. I think so.
You're right.
But again, he needed that kind of dominating performance. And I know his ERA was under 3. I think he was down to 3.95. And then when the guy hit the home run and the run got added on, his ERA jumped back up to 4. But he was awesome today. I mean, that may have been the best we've seen out of him, I think.
In terms of stuff, I think it might have been the best we've seen. In terms of just pure stuff, he's been trending that way. I mean, he was kind of I don't want to say he was a contact pitcher a couple of years ago, but it did not look like this. The movement did not look like that.
Yeah, he liked to nibble a lot, too. He would try to get guys on the outside. Today was really the first time in a while I can remember where he was just going right at guys and, drawing whiffs and just absolutely just, trying for the strikes.
18 whiffs today. I think that might have been a season high for the Orioles.
Yeah, it probably was. And he's one of these guys who even in his best of starts, you get a couple loud outs mixed in there and it doesn't always feel like he's totally on the rails. But this one, it felt pretty much fully in command. I know he got tired at the end there and gave up a few. But overall, just a dominant showing by him.
And it's funny because, again, you're talking about how, he's not really a strikeout pitcher. When he came here, he led the minors in strikeouts per 9 when the Orioles traded for him. And we were like, man, this guy is going to be, he's going to be a strikeout freak. And that's obviously not who he's turned into. But like you said, he's really kind of come into form. And as my dad texted me and said, he did pitch better in Houston last year. I forgot about that. Right. He was great there. I think 2 years ago in Houston as well. But, he's turned into a really, really good pitcher. And once
Yosniel Diaz figures it out too, I mean, that trade is going to look amazing.
He's back on the Dodgers. You know that?
Is he really? Was.
He re-signed with the Dodgers. He's 30 in their minor league system. He's not 30. Hell, I think he's 27. But that was a big ball start. That's, it reminded me of the big balls Cole Irvin start on Sunday. They needed a start like this because, again, even with the off day tomorrow, you probably didn't want to use Cano today. You kind of wanted to stay away from some of your guys because they wasted a lot of guys on Monday and Tuesday. And they were able to do it. Shout out to who else? Had somebody else in mind. Tate last night looked awesome in the bullpen.
That one sweeper he threw for a strikeout. Ooh. Oh my word. That might have been the filthiest pitch we've seen from an Oriole so far this year. Ghosted. I can't even remember. Mm-hmm. It was a right-handed batter. Maybe it was Trout. Ghosted somebody with a sweeper.
And and I have been talking about that in the group chat saying and I think we've said it on here, stuff-wise, he may be the nastiest. And that stuff, that's the stuff where you're like, that's the Dylan Tate. That's the guy who was drafted top 5 for this reason.
That's Team USA Dylan Tate.
Yes, yes. And again, that's why he pitched 70 innings for them in 2022. So when he was out all last year, that's why the bullpen was so shaky, because they didn't have the bridge guy. He's here now, and he's a perfect role. If he's healthy, and again, he's on like he was last night, whew, it's dangerous. And he's just, he was massive then. I'm trying to think what else. Aiken, again, it was lights out. A walk and two strikeouts. His ERA is inflated. He's 9.35. He's good this year, Keegan Aiken. And then our boy, everyone's favorite, Ramirez, looked fine last night too. So after looking
– career is still intact. Shout out to Banks.
Yeah, I know.
Jamie, blow that up a little bit more, Jamie.
I don't know. Can I zoom in? Well, either way, from Matt Weyrick.
Bigger text.
Yeah, Matt Weyrick of the Sun, players with 5+ home runs and 5+ stolen bases so far this season. Mike Trout, 10 home runs, 5 stolen bases. Shohei Ohtani, 6 home runs, 5 stolen bases. Mookie Betts, 6 home runs, 5 stolen bases. Ellie De La Cruz, 7 home runs, 12 stolen bases. Gunnar Henderson, 8 home runs, 5 stolen bases. Cedric Mullins, 5 home runs, 5 stolen bases. So two guys in the conversation there for the Orioles.
I mean, Gunnar is the MVP right now. I know it means nothing because it's April 24th, but Gunnar's the MVP, right?
Yeah, how many home runs is he on pace for? We're big on pace, guys.
54.
Yeah, he's on pace for 54 home runs, 20 triples, 20 doubles, 203 hits, 135 runs, and 176 strikeouts with 135 RBIs.
And that's probably 20 stolen bases too, just for a little kicker.
Yeah,
more than that. Imagine, actually, 45.
Could you imagine a 54-20-20 season?
That's like Brady Anderson territory.
The thing I don't think, like, he's turning into, and Big Cat was getting into this with, do you think Jalen Brunson yesterday, like star versus superstar? Like, I think people are very aware of Gunnar Henderson, and I think they're very, like, the national or like the average fan, like, let's say, a Tigers fan or a Miami Marlins fan. That is a lot of dongs, Mike. That's a lot of dongs.
A lot of dongs. You can never have enough dongs.
I think people are aware of him, and I think they're like, oh, he's really good. He hits for power. He's a young Oriole. Like, oh, he plays shortstop. I still just don't think people, and by people I also mean, like, I don't know if companies are aware of how psychotic he is yet. I saw a tweet. I'm going to try and find it and give credit, but someone was like, I think Gunnar Henderson might be the closest thing we ever get to a Roy Hobbs. Like, he's got that intensity about him as well. And I feel like in about a month or two, people are going to start. He's starting to, the mustache with the hair is going crazy again. And he's starting to get real mad again.
He's got some Wooderson vibes, McConaughey and Dazed and Confused, but like way more intense.
Yeah. That mixed with like, I don't even know, some sort of amphetamine, but Eric, you had the one tweet where you're like, if you hit him with a pitcher, if he walks, like, he gets so mad when he walks and he walks.
When he got hit today, he like flipped his bat. Right. I thought he was going to hit the dugout.
He's a psycho. He plays with his hair on fire. Like,
yeah, companies are about to realize how psychotic he is, and he's about to have a really weird line of apparel.
Whoever it was that had the playoff game last year, I think the first playoff game might have been the second, when he slid in and, you know, he scored on, you know, what could have been a close decision there. And like the camera on like Fox or TBS or what was just zoomed in on him, just like screaming and like, you know, pumping his fist like on the ground. Like, that was the moment where I was like, all right, the world's about to find out about this kid and, you know, so what's going on between the ears there.
He also smoked his face there. Like, he did the, like, Matt Holliday slid in and, like, just ate dirt. And then, got up, was just, like,
hair's going everywhere.
I've never seen. He literally plays with his hair on fire. I mean, the triple big last
strong,
night.
Big, strong guy, like, 250.
Yeah, well, it was just almost, like, 310.
It's almost like these days. I mean, that was a long time ago. I mean,
back then, 250. Today, it's, like, 310.
He wanted to stretch that double into a triple today, like, so bad.
He rounded hard. He almost blew his knee out.
I thought he was going to get hurt. Yeah, I was like, yo, like, chill. Like, a double's okay. I'm telling you, man, he is wired different. He just – I'm so – God. Like, I tweeted the other day, like, I can't believe we get to live on an earth where at the same time as Gunnar Henderson. Like, it's just incredible.
Also, speaking of unhinged fan take, I want to continue on this conversation as well, because I have some more takes. There's always, I have all the Gunnar takes. But Jordan Westberg, you can tell as a fan, you can tell in the media availability. There was a point yesterday, I think after Gunnar's home run to make it 7-4, Jordan Westberg was just going like this in the dugout for like 5 seconds. And he was smacking his hands. he's starting to get a little crazy too. Something weird. This is a weird clubhouse, a bunch of weird young guys. This is like some weird fraternity movie stuff going on here. I don't know what the hell's about to happen.
This is, I mean, this is the college baseball team, right down to the weird shit going on that we're not privy to. Like these college baseball teams are pretty.
They're like the Savannah Bananas of the MLB.
except
they have a fucking octobong in the dugout. Like what is going on?
The chaotic evil version of the Savannah Bananas.
It's a bongzilla.
Whatever, Eric. Whatever you say. But I don't know. I think that this is going to reach a boiling point. I think Gunner, I always like there's the phrase lady in the streets, freak in the sheets. Gunner is like a gentleman outside the lines on the diamond. He's a freaking lunatic. And I feel like it's going to start spilling over soon or something. I've never seen an athlete like him in my life. I really haven't. The way he operates on the base pads and in the batter's box, and
I think he gets it all out on the field, and that's why he's so chill off the field. It's like Scheffler. Like he's just like a psycho.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then on the field, he's a lunatic. It's so peculiar. So peculiar. So peculiar.
Yeah.
At this point, the pace is ridiculous. Adley in the series, I think, goes 7 of 12. Eric, what is it? 7 of 11 in his last 11 games, multi-hit games. Gunner in this series has what? 2 home runs, 5 RBIs. I think it finishes 6 of 11 with 2 hit-by-pitches, 5 runs, steals. Like what is going on? These guys at the top of the order. I don't know if there's been a better 1-2 punch at the top of an order in our adult lives for the Baltimore Orioles right now.
And imagine, you said this the other night, imagine when he gets back to hitting in the 3-hole. I mean, that's probably coming at some point, right?
Yeah.
I can't wait.
What do you think about Westberg leadoff?
I don't mind it.
I could see splits, righty-lefty splits. I could see against a lefty maybe they want Westberg to lead off. Because he's going to have I feel like he'll have a higher OBP than Gunner will.
I thought about it with Kowser. I know he hits for power a little bit, but he also, like, when he gets that fade going and he just, like, hits it out to left field where nobody can get it, like, he gets on base a little bit, too.
So. And that's the thing. You hit differently when you're a leadoff hitter, too, though. Like, you're trying to poke the ball a little bit. You have to pick and choose. And I think that'll translate well to situational baseball for Gunner once he is a more middle-of-the-order hitter. But, I'm excited at the prospects. I mean, ideally, Jackson's the guy. He's quick as a hiccup and is the best hit tool player that they have that they've maybe ever had come up through the minors. So down the road, but yeah, I like Westy a lot. I think that's a fun idea.
Like a 1-2-3 of Adley Gunner followed by Santander, Mountcastle, O'Hearn, kind of pick your poison there. Kowser's
got to be in there somewhere too.
I don't know. I don't know what you do, but again,
you got little Connor Norby down in Norfolk hitting 300 with 7 home runs or whatever. I mean,
everyone was saying he was going to be the call up too, and it wound up being Heston. You're going to have to pry that bat from his cold, dead hands.
The one thing I'll say about Heston that we saw, and we obviously only saw Tuesday night, we were talking about how violent Gunner's swing is. His whiff, his motion through the zone, it is like a low flighted 3-iron or something. Like he just whiffs that thing through the zone. He has crazy bat speed. I feel like I think he has the most power of anyone in the Orioles organization. Like I think his max power is number one, and I think we're going to see some dirty, filthy, stinky things coming in the next couple weeks with him.
That's why they drafted him, basically, just to fucking hit dingers. So
100%. 3 dogs of the series, the Gunnar Henderson Award. But let's just call this the Gunnar Henderson 3 dogs of the series because it's just going to be Gunner.
Gunner's dogs.
I'll start it off here. I'm going to go with Adley. This is about as hot as we've really ever seen him as a hitter, right? Like over a somewhat sustained period of time, 7 multi-hit games. He's been doing it at the DH. They've been saving his legs and been getting McCann in the lineup a lot, but Adley is just continuing to flourish at bat. He was a smart runner today, takes second in a situation when it allowed for itself, ends up scoring a run there too. Man, it feels like 2 different hitters too, which is so weird to me. The right, left. The swing plane on the right side as a right-handed batter is so level and consistent, and he can hit it for power. On the left side, he's like this Picasso painting swordsman, like a fencer. And what do you have? Two opposite field singles yesterday. So dog of the series for me, the Gunnar Henderson dog of the series, number one, I'm going Adley.
Give me Jimbo McCann. Like I said, homecoming, practically a home game for him out there in SoCal, and home run to lead the series off. And I think he sat totally yesterday. I don't think he got in at all, but washed out of a game anyway. Then he comes in today, gets a hit, and he guns the guy out at second to get the W there. So, you know, just really, really nice to give him a shout out. He's probably not going to get too many opportunities for that throughout the course of the year, but they clearly do trust him in a catching role. And it's good to have a guy like that who's able to take some pressure off Adley. So yeah, give me James McCann.
And it's funny because Spenny and I were talking about how, like, we're like, any, you know, his defense behind in the numbers when he's behind the plate aren't great. And, you know, the runs are way up and all that. And again, I was talking to my dad about it, and he had a good point being like, well, you're also comparing him to arguably the, you know, the best defensive catcher in baseball in Adley. So it's kind of pick your poison there. But again, like, anytime you can win a game with him behind there and it's not a Burns or a Grayson start, it's kind of like a stolen game. And today is a perfect example of why he's in there. I don't know what they were doing with him bunting in, like, yeah, what was it, 7th? That was bizarre. That was bizarre, right? That's the only thing I had with
Hodges. He's also been – he's like a – he can hit a sack fly. He's a – he is a high-flighted launch-angle guy. Like, he can get the ball up and drive it in the air. I don't – he's also slow as shit, too, on top of that, on top of that.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That was weird. It was weird. But, yeah, series by – again, now you see, I mean, they have the best catching tandem in baseball. I don't think that's even close to like, you can't argue it.
If you want to, if you want to rip on Hyde for something, I'll interject. If you want to rip on Hyde for something, that I hated the bunting. why he bunts with two strikes? What are you bunting a two strike count for? With two runners on, you have the lead. What are you doing?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
They had Mateo do it too, and then he hits a ground rule double. I thought that guy separated his shoulder in left field too. I don't know how he didn't. He slid like Byron Buxton a couple of weeks ago. I thought his body was going to explode into a million pieces. Just crumble like Lego.
These guys are athletes, you know.
That should have been an inside the park home run, number one. Number two, I didn't even like process that fully. I can see it in my head again. And that's hysterical.
Watch it again. He went into that wall very hard. Very, very hard. I tweeted out my three stars were Gunnar, Adley, and Dino, but I'll give it to Kimbrel. I think Kimbrel was nails in two nails situations when you needed him to be. And again, I mean, it doesn't get more high intensity than it was bases loaded, right? On Monday night.
I think there
were bases loaded, two outs and arguably the greatest hitter of our generation.
Up, you know?
Yes. I mean, and strikes him out. And he didn't even swing the bat one.
Deer the headlights. Yeah. Just fucking deer in the headlights. Like, just a fucking.
I don't know. And again, I tweeted, I think I butchered the format of it, but the Mike Trout and sitting in the front row of an Eagles Monday night game in October, handshake, at bat with bases loaded, two outs, and your team is down two, and just watching. It's perfect. I mean, it really just writes itself. But again,
just Kimbrel, what a series for Mike Trout. Two home runs, two RBIs.
It's strikes such a out perfect
the bases series. Loaded looking to the Taylor Smythe Mike Trout series of the year.
As the Angels drop the series to the Orioles, 1-2.
Absolutely. He's leading baseball in home runs.
He hit 115 mile per hour exit velocity on his home run today. He pissed on that ball.
Still looks absolutely so smooth, pissed. Too. His swing, I don't think I've ever seen a bad swing out of him. Like, every swing looks the exact same. So he's awesome. But again, Kimbrel, I think just what he was doing and what he's done all year. I mean, where's his numbers? I'm trying to pull them up.
They'd be in bad shape without him.
Yeah. And again, I mean, I feel he's 8-2. I mean, he's incredible. He's very, very good. And again, I have my friends who are Philly fans being like, just wait till the playoffs. All right, sure. I'll wait. I don't care. Like, everyone is going to blow a save. That's fine. 3-0 with a 0.2, 11 innings pitched, 17 strikeouts, 11 games, a whip of 0.64. So,
I don't know what you wanted the Orioles to do. Like, what other move was there for the Orioles to make that was better too? Like, an experienced guy that gets the job done. Like, what was the better move to replace Felix Bautista for the time being?
Well, yeah, there was nobody better out there. There are arms that they can go get now, but like one of the names everybody wanted to get, I think his name was Robert Stevenson. Who the Angels signed for 3 years, $33 million. Oh, that's right. He's getting tied on. Like, again, people would have lost their mind if that happened, but they do have to go someone. I think they will. But again, that's, we're going to enjoy the series win. We got Oakland coming in now for three. Corbin Burns going on Friday. Friday night should be a great atmosphere at the ballpark too. Like, again, a 4-2 road trip, coming home, a big weekend, you know, the A's coming in now, the Yankees coming in after them. It's like, this would be a nice, you know, crowd to get in there, get going, and then feed that into the week. But what is it? Corbin Burns and Ross Stripling, I think, Friday, who's 0-5 with a 5.34 ERA. Sick.
Well, based on freaking Garrett Canning or whatever the hell his name is, they'll freaking shove and just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I got Gunnar home run yesterday, which saved me, but I've been getting cucked this entire series betting wise so badly I can't put into words.
I hate hearing that.
I just need
it. It's just the old parlays, and the parlays I put $10 on every day, and I post them, and they're still up on the year. I'm still up 6 units, but my God, man, I'm just getting obliterated. This the Angels are in the devil. They're in the Royals realm, I'll say. Yes. They're a little. They have a little bad juju around them when the Orioles play them.
I agree. But then Saturday's Cole Irvin and JP Sears, two looping lefties out there. Sears is good too. I don't know if you guys have watched him, seen much of him. He's a good pitcher. And then Sunday is Paul Blackburn, who is 2-0 with a 2.03 ERA versus TBD. They were saying it could be John Means. I don't know why it's not Albert Suarez. It very well could be. They could be announcing it right now, but Means kind of, again, he had another, his ERA is like 13 through 5 starts in Norfolk. I mean, if it ain't
broke, it's hard for us to read into that though, because we don't know what they're trying. Like, we don't know exactly what they're having him do. The other at Bradish, I think Brandon Hyde said Friday they wanted to get him up to 80 pitches. And then I think they wanted to get him to 80 pitches twice. I think he said something like that. Mm-hmm. So he's probably two rotations away. So Suarez at this point couldn't have asked for much better. I think, I don't know, like there's no reason for Suarez to go to the bullpen with how he's pitching. Like, let him pitch until he proves otherwise. But out of the bullpen, that fastball would be so sexy as a middle reliever and someone that can eat innings for you. That fastball is awesome.
I mean,
replace Big Mike Bauman with him, like, expeditiously.
If you could get him in the in the seventh, I mean, you go him in the seventh, Tate, Cano. I mean, again, that's the thing. Now it's like, all right, well, you got Tate, Cano, Kimbrell. I mean, Coulomb, like, and then Perez is coming back. Yeah, so things could start looking up for them. But if you're saying in two series, so again, they go Oakland, New York, Cincinnati, Washington, and then they're back Arizona on May 10th. I may have kind of somewhere in there circled, like, you know, maybe bring them back versus Washington that Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't know. It's interesting. I would throw Suarez on Sunday. I think he's done nothing but deserve another start. And again, until he's showing them a reason not to, I think he should be in the rotation. So
agreed.
100%. If you've been with us, we would love to have you like and subscribe. Head over to YouTube, subscribe to the Exit 52 channel. Jakey and I are going to be doing a little mock drafting, going to be talking a little Rashad Bateman a little bit later. So if you want to hang out with us there, we would love to have you. Tomorrow, we will be live streaming the NFL draft from Jimmy's Famous Seafood. Have some special guests there, Trenton Simpson, Zay Flowers, Keaton Mitchell, all in attendance. We'll talk to definitely probably at least two of them, if not all of them, and super fired up for that. We haven't done as much draft content this year as we typically do, but yeah, we'd love to have you over to the YouTube channel. We're doing these.
By the way, I couldn't be happier about.
What? Less draft content?
This draft is just lacking in the juice. I gotta say.
We'll talk about it. There's reasons, and like for the Ravens, what is there to get super crazy about? But we'd love to have you guys. Love to have you over to the YouTube channel. Like, subscribe. We're doing these series recaps after every series. I think the latest we've been was like 2 hours maybe on one of them. We're usually in about 15, 30 minutes after the final game. So we'd love to have you come talk ball. We love everybody that comments. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Any closing thoughts here? What do you think of this series, Jake, Eric? Anything else that comes to mind here?
It's always great to go on the West Coast and win a series. And the Orioles are in the business of winning series since they called up our boy, our beautiful boy, Adley. And here's yet another one. And heading back to Baltimore, to Eric's chagrin. I mean, he wanted them to stay out there on the West Coast, so that's not going to happen. But taking on the A's and ease buddy Dallas Braden. So let's get excited.
Yeah, it's again, anytime you can just win these road series, 4-2 road trip, I think you would take that any day, regardless of who they're playing, where they're playing, how they're playing. Just come home a winner and take care of business at home. And I hope that's what the Orioles do. And again, I think now is kind of when it starts to buckle up with some of the teams, the Yankees, Cincinnati, Arizona, and we're going to start seeing some more high leverage games and big spots. And this is where the Royals stepped up last year, and this is where they'll do it again this year.
Not cutting time for sure, as the schedule looks to be a little bit more formidable with some teams that need to get some grip, some traction on their early starts and start to kind of dig in and make some runs. Teams like the Blue Jays, things like that. So super fired up. I think Jackie Holliday gets it going. I think we're starting to see a little bit. So I think you'll be in attendance at some games this weekend, Eric. Come out to Pickles. Come out to the Center Field Bar. We love you guys. We love everybody that listens and appreciate you guys. This is a lot of fun series. And there's not anything else, boys. This is a good one.
I did just realize MLB is going to like have such a slobber fest with Ellie and Gunner. And they're going to be like, tail of the tape. Here we go. Look at these guys, which again, it's awesome because Ellie's awesome too, but there's going to be a lot of that going on. Like that. I thought we would have that with O'Neill Cruz and Gunner, right? Probably too early to really put any.
It's also funny how freakish O'Neill Cruz is, and that Ellie is also 6'7" and also faster and stronger and hits the ball further. Like O'Neill Cruz is such an alien, and for him and Ellie to both come up through like kind of at the same time is wild. I can't get Ellie out of my head. Every time someone mentions his name, what he's doing right now is so insane. I'm like, Jackson Holliday was rated ahead of him pretty much unanimously. Like, it blows my mind that, and that's why people freak out that Jackson Holliday has been so slow to start. It's like, he is unanimously viewed as a higher potential baseball player than the guy who is maybe the biggest freak we've seen in the last 20 years in this sport coming up. Like, Jackson's going to be okay.
Yeah. Preach patience, right?
Preach patience.
I mean, this, but give him the benefit of the doubt. Freaking look at what Gunner's doing. That is, Gunner was exactly here exactly a year ago, right now. It has been to the day almost a year of Gunner. 1 year ago today, Gunner struggling, all these things. Like, just give these guys the benefit of the doubt. I think with Kowser and Westberg and Adley and Gunner, and lo and behold, what they've done with guys like Grayson on the pitching side, O'Hearn, even guys like Mateo, who they've tinkered with, like, give the Orioles the benefit of the doubt. Jackie Holliday, he's going to figure it out.
Little Jackie Jr. Hopefully,
little Jackie Holliday.
Hopefully, he meets a better fate than the other Jackie Jr. left face down in the snow. Jesus Christ. That's a reference for some, and not even all three on the stream. Eric doesn't even get that reference.
I get it. I get it.
Okay. All right. That's interesting.
Okay. You're a savage.
All right. Well, is that all we got then, fellas?
I think that's a show.
All right. Well, there's a show. That's a show. Spenny already gave you a spiel about liking and subscribing to the YouTube. Go ahead and please do that. If you're listening on a podcast platform, hit that subscribe button. You can also find us on social media at Exit 52 Podcast across Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Well, we'll see. We'll have to see about TikTok. I know Eric's guy is shutting that whole operation down. So we got that going on. But other than that, you can find me at Jake Luke. That's LOUQUE on Twitter. Eric is at EDITTI22. Spenny is at Ravens 4 Dummies. That is the number 4 in the middle. Brian is at Barstool Banks. And Taylor is at TaylorSmite10. Go tweet him some Mike Trout takes. Thank you guys again for listening to another series recap. We'll be back with one very soon. And until then, we'll see you.
Arrivederci.